The rabbis tell this tale of Adam sitting under a canopy of stars and wondering why the night had grown so long and so cold. As the Talmud story tells it, Adam wondered why the warmth had slipped clear out of the heavens, dropping with the last of the bright leaves of fall and leaving him there shivering in the night, not knowing when and if and how the days would come to lengthen like that first seemingly endless summer in the garden, before he knew anything about the turning of seasons or gripping sorrows or fear. Imagine, if you can, just imagine the first human being experiencing the first seasons, the first time that the turning of the year presented itself to the human imagination. Imagine, like Adam, not knowing why the cold had set in, or if and when the light might come back. Imagine that moment of uncertainty, of fear, and the wonder and awe that comes directly on its heels when the days creep back to life again and bit by bit the whole Garden of Eden rises up out of the cold, hard ground like it had never died in the first place. These days, we know all about the celestial drama that's playing out in the turning of the seasons. We know, or at least we are all capable of Googling it, that the seasons exist because the Earth's axis of rotation is not perpendicular to its orbital plane, and that half of the year brings the tilt of the sun to the northern hemisphere and the other to the south, and the beckoning rays of old Apollo turn and turn. This is science. It's not mystery. It's the facts on the ground. Apparent to anyone who was listening in elementary school, and now as we approach the winter solstice, the eager and smart scientist who lives in each of our brains knows exactly that this is only the moment of a particular inclination of the rotational axis of the Earth. The longest night is readily explainable in a handy chart that documents such movements and explains so that we need not fear and perhaps need not wonder either. So that we need not fear and need not wonder either. But if in the presence of all of our great knowledge we need not wonder, why do we kindle the festival lights? Why do I well up with illogical and unbidden tears every time I hear Handel's Messiah this time of year? Why do some of us find ourselves, even when it is utterly against all of our ideas of who we are, listening to Christmas songs on the radio the day after Thanksgiving? Why do the shining lights of the menorah bring stillness and silence, even when our minds are the most scattered, despite our rationality reminding us that miracles still happen and light does shine out of the darkness? No matter how much we know, and we know a whole lot, we are not so separated from that long ago Adam in the story of the rabbis, the first man who gazed up at the stars in wonder and who, when he came to the turning of the year, was just one small part of the whole, celebrating for 8 nights before and after the longest night, honoring the wonder and the mystery and the beauty of both light and darkness. No matter how much we know, we too look up at the darkness and find ourselves to be in awe of the turning of the year, the rolling of the earth, and the passage of another season off into the distance. No matter how much we know, we still wonder. Because wonder and awe and sacred bafflement as we stand underneath a canopy of stars, all of these things are aspects of the human condition that are as real for us today as they would have been for the first human beings in those first days, lost to history but not to imagination. It is almost cliche to speak about the common threads behind winter holidays. The obvious connections are pretty easy to make. That many festivals of religious and cultural traditions from around the world harken back to that same moment of wonder and awe when the night is its longest and the stars seem like they'll shine forever. Christmas, many of us know, is placed where it is on the calendar, not because Jesus was actually born on that day, but because it coincides with and thus had a chance to supplant the pagan holiday of Saturnalia, which itself sat squarely on top of solstice celebrations that stretched all the way back to the beginning of time. Yes, it's true. The holiday season is one tradition piled up on top of another, one set of rituals layered up and over one another until it's hard to sort them all out at all. Yes, Christmas is just a successor, or perhaps better, a companion to all that came before it. And yes, the whole experience has been layered over with a big, fat pile of consumerism and the accumulation of stuff. Yes, all of that is true. But underneath it all, there are rituals of light in the midst of darkness in almost every religious tradition, and they exist for a reason. Because there is wonder at the turning from cold to warmth. There is wonder at the struggle that gives birth to new beginnings. These connections exist because everywhere, in every corner of the earth, human beings continue to bear witness to the wonder of creation moving throughout human history. This witness takes the form of ritual very often, and there are many rituals in this season of light. This is the second Sunday of Advent and the fifth night of Hanukkah. It is several weeks since the celebration of Diwali, the Hindu festival of lights, and only a few weeks before we will hold candles and sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve, and the solstice will be honored in every sacred grove around this world. All of these traditions work powerfully with the symbol of tiny lights kindled in the long night, and all of them carry ritualistic elements that help us to say with our actions what we could never speak with just our words. These rituals say that there is darkness, and it is both beautiful and really cold, and sometimes we are unsure if it will ever be any other way. These rituals say that there is light, and it is beautiful and fleeting, and that every year it comes back to our continued astonishment and gratitude. It comes back. Every year it comes back, and something somewhere must be praised for the abundance of that gift. Even in this scientific age, the rituals we celebrate serve an important function to pull us out of our thinking, judging, critical minds and into an experience of honest and irresistible wonder. They are a reminder that though we may try to banish awe and mystery will sneak up on us every time. And we might as well have a whole season in which to let them bring it on. When we kindle the festival lights, we express the sentiments once felt by the first ones who ever walked this earth. Fear, gratitude, and blessing for our small place in the family of things. That's not to say that all holidays celebrated in the winter are really the same thing. Hanukkah, after all, is not a solstice celebration at all. It is a remembrance of a moment in history when a people thought that everything was lost, only to find that new beginnings could arise even out of that deep, deep darkness of war and destruction. The story at the heart of Hanukkah is about a different kind of light in the darkness, but just as important. And some of you may recall it, right? During the age of the Maccabees, Israel was controlled by the Greeks. And the Greeks, of course, being an empire, had a stake in maintaining their empire. And the stakes were very high if you chose to rebel against that authority. The idea of the Jewish people maintaining their cultural and religious identity was a threat to that empire. And so they moved ever closer and closer toward assimilation, but for one man, whose name was Matthias. He and his five sons refused. They formed an army, they fought, and all the odds, the story says, were stacked against them. But through the war and in the rubble, they finally took back what was left of their holy temple in Jerusalem, and they rededicated it to their God. And when they went to light the lamp that would shine out in the darkness of their holy temple, when they went to rededicate that space that had been dark for so long, the story says there was only oil enough for one night, but it shined for 8 days and 8 nights. 8 days and 8 nights, where the people still celebrate victory in spite of unimaginable odds and remember the rededication of holy spaces when they've been broken so badly you thought they'd never come back. Hanukkah is a celebration of mystery and wonder, too. It is different, but not entirely so, from the solstice season. That particular darkness that is overcome in Hanukkah is not celestial, but human. It's not the stuff of tides and stars and planets in rotation, but a darkness entirely our own. It is the darkness of the human struggle, of conflict, of warfare, of the self-made shadows that keep us from seeing how very blessed we are to be alive. That is the darkness that is overcome by the kindling of the menorah. It is a reminder that war, like winter, has an end, and that desolation, like the cold, can give way to rebirth and renewal. Because let's be honest, this season isn't always dark just because the nights are literally long. Sometimes this season is dark for us because we're struggling with our own private sorrow, our own suffering that seems like it, like the night, will never end, our own loneliness that seems too deep to see through. It is not just the sun that stays dark during these times. Sometimes it is the soul. And like Adam, we do not know how long the cold will linger. Sometimes we feel like the long night will never pass, and the darkness has indeed overcome us, but the Hanukkah lights are kindled each and every year in a ritual that reaches back to that ancient legend of light born even out of the middle of great destruction, and a hope that no human darkness can kill. Like so many other occasions in this season, the kindling of the Hanukkah lights is an invitation to share in the wonder and the mystery of our existence, and the miracle that in spite of it all, or perhaps because of it, life remains a beautiful thing, and light is never fully quenched. Little children might be afraid of the darkness in their rooms at night, of the shadows beneath the bed and the mysteries that linger there. But you watch when they crane their heads back to gaze into the cold night sky. Their eyes are not full of fear, but of wonder. For the darkness overhead is not only frightening, it is also lovely, and its very vastness, the fact that we cannot see its edges, makes the rebirth of light just that much more miraculous each and every time. Every time that a light shines in the darkness, it is a miracle. Every time that hope is born from despair, it is a wonder. Every time that the season turns once again, we are left with another opportunity for awe. In this scientific age, we know a whole lot of stuff. We know the seasons and the orbits and the distance from which the stars blink their lights at us, but that does not take away our chance for wonder. That does not take away our opportunity for awe or the persistent miracle of hope when it arises out of almost nothing. For these things we create rituals. For these things we light the lights. For these things we make festivals. We sing the songs and peer into the darkness and wait for the new beginning that is to come. In this scientific age, there is still room for wonder. And this season invites us, like little children, to stand in awe at some truly wondrous truths. That peace can be born from the ashes of war. That a single life can still change everything. That sorrow need not have the last word. That light does shine out of the deepest darkness. These are truths that are not for the mind to grasp, but for the soul to immerse itself in this time of year. This is a season in which we have the opportunity not just to examine our lives, but to experience them, to give in to the wonder of it all, to be held in the arms of a beautiful mystery, and perhaps even find ourselves happy as the snow falls and the stars blink in the night. Jewish mystical teacher Jesus ben Sirach wrote these words, which I'll leave you with. The beginning of wisdom, wonder. The culmination of wisdom, wonder. The crown of wisdom, wonder. The root of wisdom, wonder. And her branches, long life. No matter what darkness you may face, whether of God or of the human heart, may this season bring you moments of blessed peace. May you wonder, held in awe for a moment at the turning of the year, at the beauty of the night, and at the miracle of the new dawn which stretches out before you. May it be so, and amen.